Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a vague, wishful hope. It's not a vague, wishful hope, but instead, it is a confident expectation. A confident expectation that is rooted in God's character. Our confident expectation is rooted in the character and in the nature of our Lord. It's not just a vague hope. It's not an empty hope. It's not a hope in ourselves. It's not a hope in a situation. It's literally a rooted confidence expectation in the godly character that he has and he is and always continues to show us. Amen? And that is regardless of opposing trials. Because we do know this, that we will all have trials in this world. In this world. There are trials, but we don't live in this world. We live in Christ. So obviously we live in the world, but we're not to be a partaker of the way the world's system, correct? So in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world, right? And so we live in Christ, and in Christ there's joy. In Christ there's perfect joy. Perfect unity. That doesn't mean things don't go wrong. That means that our focus, our gaze is upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Say, it's not vague. It's not vague. It's not a wishful hope. Some people think faith is like a wishful hope. It's not a wishful hope. It's a confidence. It is a confidence, and that confidence is in Christ alone, the hope of glory. That confidence is in God's character and in his nature, of which he does not change. God does not change. He will not change. Amen? Romans 10:10. Let's turn our word to Romans 10:10. Hallelujah. It says, for with one heart, one believes unto righteousness, with one heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth. Confession. Romans 10:10. So, one heart. With one heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with one mouth confession is made unto salvation. Therefore, speaking what is scriptural is the key. It's the key. It's the key to living a supernatural life. I'm going to read it again. With one heart. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With our hearts we believe unto the King of Kings. We believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made. We have to believe and then we get to also speak, right? So speaking what is scriptural is the key to living a supernatural faith-filled life. Say, yes, it's mine. Speaking scripture is the key to living a fruit-filled life, a godly fruit-filled life, a spiritual life, a Holy Ghost-filled life. Are we all following? So with the heart we believe, but with the mouth confession is made. So we need to think about the confession that's being made on a regular basis. Because the confession that's being made on a regular basis, if it's not of the world, of the Word of God, then it's of the world. And then therefore, it's like a self-sabotaging assignment that is sent unto you because you've allowed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It takes work to do what I'm saying. It takes work. But that work is the work of the Spirit of God. He'll help you with it when you purpose in your heart to do this very thing, right? So Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, not necessarily what you speak, but what you speak is a byproduct of what you think in your heart. So eventually, it all kind of works together, right? We need to make sure that what we think in our hearts is truly what the Word has already laid out. The Word has laid out many, many things for us to grab hold of and to walk in truth. Faith calls things to mind. Faith calls things to mind, and belief takes you to the impossible realm. When you're walking in the faith of God, it calls things to mind. We are to call things to mind throughout the day. Lord, what should I be thinking about right now? What word of God, what word should I be dwelling on right now? Faith calls things to mind. You get to do this. We get to do this. Call things to mind. Bring the word of God to your remembrance by simply saying, Lord, what should I be focusing on at this moment? Because faith calls things to mind, and belief takes you to the impossible realm that we're supposed to live in all the time. The realm of the breakthrough. And in Lamentations 3 and 21, you can turn there if you like. Lamentations 3, 21, it says this, I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. We are to call to mind, and therefore there's where the hope comes from. I'm not going to let anything just have its way in my mind. Now, I could, and we've all been there, and we've done that. But true believers that are maturing in Christ understand, I am going to allow my spirit, my body, my mind, as I'm going to call things to mind, and therefore I'm going to have hope. I'm going to call to mind the things that are true, that are good, that are pure, that are lovely, that are perfect. I'm going to think on these things, but I got to call them to mind. We got to call things to mind. So it's called being diligent in who we're called to be in the as the army of God, as spiritual weapons, which is of the word. The word is our spiritual weapon. The spirit of God is a spiritual weapon, but we need to call it to mind. We don't want to walk as lazy or sloppy Christians that don't train up our minds in following truth. Amen? So I call this to mind, therefore I have hope. I believe that the Lord is our healer. We all believe that the Lord is the healer. How do we know that? Because the word has many, many scriptures that tell us that the Lord is our healer. Amen? Therefore, with my mouth, I will decree a thing. And what does the word say? It says, it shall be established. Correct? So I will decree a thing and it shall be established. Job 22, 28. We decree the word and it shall be established. We're not going to pull something out of the sky. We're not going to pull something and decree something that is not of God, not biblical. But we are going to decree the truth, and it shall be what? Established. Think about that. Get that in our minds. Oh, God, help us to get that in our minds. Established means firmly fixed, rooted, and planted. Sounds like there's some cement. Sounds like there's some deep foundations. Well, that's what the word is. Our deep foundation. Cemented, established. It's who we're called to be. Cemented and established in truth. So when the wiles of the enemy come to try to knock you off your game, you just don't, it just doesn't happen. You just don't allow it. You say, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I know the truth. I know too much. I'm not falling for those same tactics. I'm not going to allow you to torment and taunt me with the same schemes that maybe you were allowed to in the yesterdays of my life. Amen? We've been established. God has established us, and the very foundation of who we are is in Christ and Christ alone, the hope of glory. Established. Think about that. We are called to be people that are established on truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. Established on Him. So I believe that God is the healer, and with our mouth, we're going to decree that. So what if you don't see the healing right away? I still believe that God is the healer. I still believe that God's word still stands true. I still believe that it's still mine. And I believe that's just a symptom and it's not the truth anyway. Because the truth is that He's the healer and He's already healed. Amen. Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He has benefits for us. Many benefits for us. Amen. He says, who forgives you of all your sins and heals you of all your diseases. This is the kind of God that we serve. His word does not return unto us void, and His word is truth. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent forth His word, and He healed them. He sent forth His word. Jesus was sent. Jesus is the word, the living word, living and moving and walking amongst us. Amen. And He healed them. And when Jesus was taken up, He sent forth His word. He's still sending forth His word. His word is being sent out every time you open your mouth and speak it. Every time you open your mouth and speak it, that word is being established deeper in you. It's being established, and it's coming to pass. So He sent forth His word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions. The enemy wants nothing more than to bring destruction.
I want to take a moment right now and just thank you for your continued financial support to this ministry and for your faithful partnership in prayer. You know, the Lord is doing amazing things, and I am just at awe at what he is doing, how many souls are being reached for the kingdom because of people like you that have partnered with us. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer and your continued support as lives are being reached for the kingdom. It's all for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to the teaching.
Lies, death, deceit, torment. It's the father of lies. It's all is in him is lies. There's no truth and there's nothing good in him, but we serve the King of Kings. That is already, he's already triumphantly risen, shed his blood, rose again, given us the keys to the kingdom, and we serve the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We lack for nothing. I love to say that over myself. I lack for nothing. You lack for nothing, no matter what's going on in your lives, nothing at all. Amen? Matthew 8 and 17, he took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases upon his body. And Matthew 8, 17 is talking directly as what took place in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, where it says, by his stripes that we are healed. You know, Matthew 8, 17, he took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases. So we have to understand that spiritually, we don't have to, even if you still have symptoms. Is it denial? No, it's faith. It's faith in truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. Our faith is in this word, this holy word, this eternal word that does not change. Now, I'm just speaking on one topic, healing. We could do this with any topic at all. Amen? We can do this with any topic, and we will. Jeremiah 17, 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Will you praise him in the midst? Will you praise him while you're waiting? Will you praise him in the interim while you're believing for that word to come about and become a reality in your life? Will you praise him in the midst? With a big yes, we all say, right? We all said yes, of course, no matter what. Just as in the before service, and I was reading Psalm 84, and I was saying to you all that one line that stood out, it says, we will still be praising you. But I read it, I will still be praising you. No matter what, I will still be praising you. We will still be praising him no matter what. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to say that and to mean it. And to be tested on that and to still mean it. And to let the span of years go by and to still mean it. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about because you've already heard that story, which I'm not going to get into right now. But you will know what I'm talking about when I say yes, no matter what. The no matter what story, yeah, some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go in there because then I'll be on a different tangent, but it's okay, another day. But I'm telling you, God wants your full yes, and it needs to be a continual yes. I will worship you and praise you no matter what. Yes, I will give you my all no matter what. Yes, even though it costs me so many different things, painful things, I will still be standing, and I will still be praising you with my very last breath. And that's what he's looking for, the unadulterated, 100% yieldedness, because he's already done it all. It's not because I'm saying this, because I know there's something good on the other side. It's because I've already received the most precious gift that I'm ever going to receive, which is in the Son, Jesus Christ. And I know God's promises are yes and amen, and I know he wants to lavish us with good things, but I'll tell you this one thing, if he never does one more thing for us, we've already received everything that we need for life and godliness, and it is all through the Son, Jesus Christ. All through the blood that he's already shed on that cross for us. All of it. All of it. We are lavishly, lavishly adored and adorned by our King. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 4 and 22 says, the word of God is life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This word is life to us. It's life and it's health to all of our flesh. Amen. You know, I believe, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 15. Many of us know this scripture. I believe for me and my house. The Bible tells us. Choose this day. Choose this day whom you will serve. Every day. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. And of course, our choice is always the same. Amen. And it's good. But I believe that he is the rescuer, the deliverer of our children and children's children. And he will deliver them from the devil's grip. And some of them are gripped by demonic powers. But it's not too big for God. Come on, it's not too big for our Heavenly Father. Amen. And maybe for you, it's not a child. Maybe it's somebody else, but it's somebody. Amen. So you can just insert whoever it is. Isaiah 54 and 13 says, for the word of the Lord says, all of my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, the shalom peace. And without Jesus, there is no peace. But Jesus came, and he is the shalom peace, the Prince of Peace, and he will silence the chaos that tries to take place in your loved ones' minds, hearts, bodies. Isaiah 49, 25, I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. Come on, we have a promise. We have promises, but we have promises that we could literally stand on and know that we know that we know that in the meantime, we will speak it with confidence, with joy, with assurance, because we know we've been established in truth, and it shall come to pass. It's coming to pass in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter what. We do not need to wait until we see the fulfillment before we put a smile on our faces. No. The opposite. We put a smile on our faces now because we know something. We know that he is for us and not against us. We know something. We know that his word will never return unto his void. We know that God will move heaven and earth to rescue us. We know that he'll do the same for our family members. We know something. We're confident of this something. We've been established in his word. His word will never return void. We stand in faith as the body of Christ. Why? Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Our hope is in Christ alone, the hope of glory. Our hope is in Jesus. Amen? Isaiah 59, 19. This is my covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. He says, this is my covenant, saith the Lord. Oh, I remember like many, many years ago when this scripture was highlighted to me. And I wrote it down. I put it in my other Bible, the one that's falling apart, that I love so much, that I'm always tempted to bring. But I wrote it in my other Bible, and along with many other scriptures. And it was like, Lord, you said this is your covenant. That means a promise that you don't break. This is my covenant with them, my spirit who is on you. And I felt like he was speaking this directly to me, because he was. And he's speaking it directly to us even now. My spirit who is on you, is God's spirit on you? Yes. That would be a unanimous yes. My spirit who was on you and my words that I've put in your mouth. Has God put his words in your mouth? Yes. Yes, he has. He says, my spirit who was on you and my words that I've put in your mouths will not depart from your mouths, nor for, here it comes, nor from the mouths of your children, nor from the mouths of your children's children. So some of you that may not even have children, you can be contending for your grandchildren already. Forget about just your children, because this word is a promise that continues along every bit of your heritage and legacy that you're going to leave. Phil and I, my husband and I, we were first generation Christians. We weren't raised in this faith, right? We're Catholic, and we were raised in, you know, doing good and all that, do good, be good, that kind of thing, which is, there's a place for that. But it was all a duties thing. We didn't know about the work of the cross and Jesus and salvation just on faith alone. And I love the fact that when the Lord got a hold of us, you all know the story. Phil got saved first, and then he worked on me for a year, and then here I came, you know, about a year later, right? Most of you guys know the story. But I love the fact that the Holy Spirit just never, ever, ever stops just pulling us into his koinonia. He continues through the word. He'll speak it. You read it. His spirit just falls afresh upon you, and he shows you the ways to go. You think some of the children that maybe they're just not walking with Christ, let me tell you something. There was a day for most of us. I mean, some of you are raised in the church. I know from a baby you just had the Bible read to you, and you just, and praise God for people like that. That was not my story. That was not our story. And I think most of us, it's not. But I'll tell you this. God pursued you. He pursued you with a passion, didn't he? And look at where you're at today. You were in a church that 3-4 hour service is nothing, and we're good. We're like, is it really over? Like, we're so, and I say that to say this, because we're hungry for the truth, because we love the truth. We know Jesus is the truth. He's transformed us. We are not who we used to be. And who gets the glory for that? The Lord, our God. Will he not do it for those that you're also praying for? How much more will he not do it for those that you're contending for? Absolutely. Are you convinced? Yes, I'm convinced. He said, my spirit who is on you and my words that I've put in your mouth will not depart from your mouths. But it's not just not departing from your mouths, nor from the mouths of your children. They hear you. They've heard you. Nor from the mouths of your children's children. Just today I had a conversation with my oldest daughter, and we were talking about healing, and we were talking about just the whole concept of healing and understanding how the Lord is our healer, and she's a nurse, most of you know, but she totally, I mean, it's not that we don't ever feel like there's a need for a doctor. Of course, there's a time and a place, and you should never feel bad or, you know, let anybody make you feel bad that you need to go to the doctor or even take medicine. I think it's absurd when somebody says, well, you have no faith then. It's like, wait a minute, can we please ask the Spirit of the living God first? Because maybe, just maybe, they were supposed to for that duration of time. And it's not a lack of faith, which is crazy when people tell you that. Do we have a relationship with the Lord, and can we hear him and obey what he tells us, knowing that ultimately, the Lord is our healer. And he will show us and tell us when to stop, when to back off, and when to release that and stop taking those things, and to just let him do the finished work. There needs to be a healthy balance of both. Well, my daughter knows that I think this and I believe this. Now, I say all that to say, you all know that the last thing I do is run to the doctor, right? That is my last resort. I don't go running to the doctor. I just don't. But my faith is at a place where I believe King Jesus, my Savior, my physician of all physician, that he's going to touch and heal me. So I stand on that, and I wait. I believe God, and I just, now there, sometimes there's a point in time where you just have to go. Praise God for it. I'm not going to be ashamed or feel bad about it. Are we all following? So we were talking about healing today. She believes just like me, same thing, and she's a nurse. And we were talking about how, I was telling her that scripture in 3 John where it talks about, you know, he wants our whole body healed, you know, even as your soul prospers, you know, beloved, I desire that you prosper and be in health in all ways and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I was talking to her about soul prosperity and how important it is that our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, that they get healed, that our souls become healed. Because I was telling her how so many people, you know, they can come and get healed and they go and go, wow, the pain left. But unless their soul gets healed, sometimes that pain reappears because there's a wounding in the heart that needs to take place so that the healing is solidified, right? And you know, and how in Genesis, you know, when the Lord was talking to Cain, it's like, well, you know what? The enemy is right there crouching at your door, but you must master it. You must master it. What is he talking about? We cannot let wrong thinking, emotions that are not of God, fester and have their way, because it has a way of robbing you of the healing that God wants you to have. It's all like a package, like our bodies, our lives. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. And he wants us whole, not just healed. He wants us whole. I mean, as every part of us. Today we're talking about having faith to stand on the word of God. But we need to be a healthy, balanced church that understands that God wants our bodies, but he wants our minds, our souls, our emotions, our relationships, our finances, everything about us, not just healed, but whole. And that sometimes takes a process, because there are layers that God wants to work through and needs to work through. And that's okay, because we can trust God moment by moment. Many times he does this miraculous, supernatural, 1, 2, 3, they're healed. And we're like, wow, that's awesome. We believe for that 100%. But if there is a wounding that's deep, that hasn't been addressed, it's going to need to be addressed at some point in time. Isn't that true? This is why I share the story. Because it said that your children, that his words are going to be put in your mouth and in your mouths of your children and your children's children. So my daughter says, she goes, Mom, I believe exactly what you're talking about, because over all the years, you've always had that. You've always told me this. You've always taught me in this way. So I fully believe what you're talking about, you know. And I believe that. She goes, I walk in that understanding. She goes, now at work, of course, not everyone understands or believes that. And they're just 1, 2, 3, all medicine. That's it, right? whatever the doctor says, you just follow without, like, mindlessly, you just obey, right? She, even though she works as a nurse, she does not believe that. She knows deep down inside, we need to let the Spirit of God speak to us and hear what he says. Let him heal and let him direct our steps. I thought when she said that, I immediately thought of the scripture. Because over the years, it's like God says, my spirit that I've put in you, my words that I've put in you are not going to depart from you. And they're not going to depart from your children and your children's children. That was proof right there of words that he's put in me, that we speak. He's put in words in you, his words in you. You've spoken them. They're not going to depart from your loved ones. They've heard you. They've heard you. And then comes that day where they repeat it. And you recognize, my God, it's taking place. Thank you, Father. It's taking place. You see the fruit of it taking place. And I love that. And I thought, oh, Lord. Because I remember that day when I pulled over on the side of the street because I was listening to a message. And I heard this scripture. I pulled over. I still have the piece of paper. I pulled over. And it was like the back of a calendar. It's an old calendar now. But I still saved the calendar. Because I wrote this scripture down. This preacher was saying this. Where I pulled over. I was on my way to Riverside. I didn't care. Like I'm pulling over, like I'm on the freeway. I'm pulling off because I've got to write this down. I sat there in the middle of, I don't even know where I was, because I don't remember now. But I wrote, like, oh, he was talking about children and just standing on the word of God for your children. I wrote scripture after scripture after scripture, and I stood on that. But I tell you, that scripture right there, the same spirit that he gave us and the same words that he's put in our mouths are not going to depart from you, and they're not going to depart from your children, nor your children's children. So you can substitute someone else in that position. Maybe it's a parent. God's word is still true. Amen? Glory to God. The Lord has promised us spiritual transformation, a heart transplant at the hand of our God. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart. I know he's talking about spiritually, but still. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Thank you, Lord, for the heart of flesh that you've given us, and you continue to give to those that still need it. Hallelujah. Spiritual transformation, heart transplants as they need to be. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We serve a God of power. We serve a God of power. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe. Believe. Believe and you will receive. Whatever you ask in prayer, as you ask according to the will of God, as you ask according to his perfect will, believe and you will receive. With our hearts, we believe. With our mouths, we speak. And as we do that, the word that is already a foundation and established establishes us in him. And we become those pillars that are unshakable. We become those oak trees that are unshakable, unmovable. Last scripture, Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He's the God of hope. May he fill you with all joy and with all peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you, abounding in hope. We are abounding in hope because Jesus is our hope.